Okay, so I wanted to do two core things today, maybe three, but let's at least if we get two done, I'll be happy. I want to finish up yesterday's discussion. And yesterday we had a it was a very, very fundamental topic about what point is a Baal Dover considered to be chayev? What generates the machayev? And we saw the approach of really explicit in the Gilui HaShas. But I believe that's how Rashi learns the sugya that we learned yesterday, is that there's a fundamental difference between dine mamonos and dine nefashos and knossos. In the area of dine mamonos, which is we call civil law, so there the mechayev is the matan mos, the event, the maisa. So when you with the maisa hezek or the loan, that generates the chiyuv, and whether the guy brings you to court or he doesn't bring to you to court, you're chayev. You have to pay him back. There's a mitzvah to go ahead and Priyas Chov Mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to pay back your debts. If you owe someone money, you have to pay him back, even if he doesn't make a demand of payment. That's when it comes to Dine Mamonos. However, when it comes to Dine Knossos and Dine Nefashos, the Mashmos HaSugya is that the Mechayev is the Gemara Din of Bezdin. And there is no mitzvah, there's no obligation upon you to, as the Rav Akiva Vega said in a very dramatic way, to go ahead and kill yourself if you're rotzeh. You don't have to do so. The Mechayev is the Gemara Din of Bezdin, so too when it comes to Knossos, and perhaps the litmus test, as we learned Rashi, the indicator, the Siman LaDavar, is Hodah. Is Hodah going to generate Chiv? If the whole role of Bezdin and Eidim is just a Birur, the Chiv already exists from the Matan Mos, and just the role of Bezdin and the Eidim is a Birur LaDavar, is just to clarify, so then Hodah is also clarification, and therefore in Dini Mamonos, when you're Modi, you're going to be Chayiv. Masha Ein Ken, when it comes to Knossos, where you're not chayiv yet. When it comes to dinei nefashos, you're not chayiv yet. So says Rashi, a hodah is still miftar, is still going to be pater. Why? Because it's not a matter of clarifying what happened. You need the gemar din to generate the chiyuv. Without the gemar din, there is no chiyuv. And therefore, explained Rashi, mode beknas is pater, and also mode be nefashos is also going to be pater, meaning it's not going to be mavar anything. And that is what Rashi has in mind. We pointed out Tosas does not seem to go in that direction, and perhaps there is another idea going on. I asked you to take a look at, well, I don't know if you took a look, but a few marmakomos that I added onto your marmakomos, just on this topic. So you saw perhaps, or we saw earlier, the sugya in Bava Metzia of Esnan Asra Torah Afilu Ba'al Imo. It's a very, very striking case where the Gemara tells us that if a person, Rachmana Litzlan, engages his mother as a harlot and as a zona. So the halacha is that he's chayv misa, the chayv misa, but the money that he would pay her if he gave her an animal, that animal would still be called an esnan zona and would be usser to bring on the mizbeach. And the question is why? Rashi is bothered. Why is that the case? After all, kimle b'derabine, there is no chiv mama, there's only a chiv of Misa in a case of Kimle b'derabmineh. So Rashi there in Bava Metzia explains that although Bezdin will not enforce the Chiyuv Mamon based on Kimle, but there is a Chiyuv Mamon. He still has to be Yotzei Lidei Shamayim. There's still a Chiyuv, so to speak, Bidei Shamayim. And even though there's no Psak Din over here because the event, the Maisa, is generating the Chiyuv Mamon. Sure, Bezdin's not going to impose two Chiyuvim. But that's not the point. When it comes to Dine Mamonos, the Chiyuv is already established from the Maisa Aveira. That is Rashi, very much Lashitasa. However, there's a couple of interesting Tosas in as well. There's a Tosas over here that I put on your Marmakomos on Daf in Maseches Ksuvis Daf Lamed Gimel, and then another one in Bava Kama Lamed Gimel. The one in Ksuvis is almost Mefurish like the Gilui HaShas, and in fact, the Gilui HaShas quotes this Tosas. So this Tosas would seem to reflect the exact against our Tosas. If you take a look what Tosas writes, afal gav de hocha, afilu latzeis yedei shamayim eino chayev. When it comes to, he's talking about a knas. When it comes to knasos, there is no idea of being yotzei yedei shamayim. The dafka be mamon. It's only by mamon who the Amar Rav Avasokas Apoyim Esan Asatav Pilu Boalimo. The mechayev, let's say, de shamayim. Ava knas lo mechayev ella al pi bezdin asher yarshin Elohim prat lamashia atzmo. Okay, so So what emerges from Tosis seems to be very consistent with Rashi that when it comes to a chiyuv in knas, there is no idea of let's say si de shamayim, just to admit that you're chayv and to go ahead and pay for after all, you need a gemar din of bezdin. This Tosis would seem to be saying like Rashi, not like the Tosis in our sugya. And another Tosis in Bava Kamma, Daf Lamed Gimel Med Beis, deals with the case of ones umefate. If a man were to go ahead and seduce or rape an underage girl, so there's a knas that's levied, and let's say he seduced or raped, was ma'anes or was mefate, a nara. So the din is that the knas goes to her father, but it says Lo hispik lamod badin. If they didn't yet have the gemar din ad shebagra, and now she becomes a bogeres, she becomes a gedola. So then says Tosas knasa laatzma. Then the knas is going to go to her. Says Tosas va'amai habmishas pitui zacha b'ha'av. From the time of the seduction, she was a nara ktana, so the father was zoche. So Alma, what do you see? Alma mashma debeknas lo zochi ad shas hamod abadin. So you see over here that the hamod abadin, the gmar din, is what sets up the chiv knas, and therefore, so long as she's a ktana, so yes, if there was a gmar din, it would go to the father. But since the Gemar Din has not yet happened ad shebagra, until she became a bogeres, an adult, so who is going to get the money? So says Tosis, she's going to get the money. And this would all seem to corroborate the Mahalach of the Gilyon HaShas of Rashi, that when it comes to Knas, the Mechayiv of Knas is the Psak Din of Bezdin. When it comes to Mamon, the Maisa is the Mechayiv. Is that clear?
We're saying that according to Tosus as well, though.
So I'm saying now, is Tosus contradicting himself? Is there these two Tosuses say crystal clear? Kobe, are you here? Tosus says
What was the second
the
Tosus?
second Tosus again is a Tosus in Ksuvos Lamed Gimel, who says, when it comes to knas, there is no din of being yotzei de shamayim. You need a psak din of bezin. That would seem to be consistent with Rashi Gilyon HaShas. Moreover, the second Tosas Bava Kamma tells us that when it comes to the din of pitui, seduction, there's a knas when a man seduces a woman and essentially against her will. So the knas goes. If she's a ketana, it goes to her father. But the Gemara says that if she was bagra, she became an adult kodem hamada badin, before the Gemara din happened, then knasa laatzma, she would get the knas. Says Tosis, why is she getting the knas? The father already is entitled to the knas. So lechora, the answer is, why is the father not entitled to the knas? Because when did the chiv knas emerge? The Chiv Knas emerges only at the Gemar Din. At the Gemar Din, she's the Balas Dovar, not the father. The Knas goes to her. So this Lechora would be perhaps a stira in the two Tosasin, in Tosasin. Tosas in Ksuvis and in Bava Kamma seem to be learning like Rashi, whereas Tosas in Maseches Makos seems to be avoiding the simple approach of the Gilyon HaShas and Rashi. So that's our.
Meaning, because Tosa said yesterday that the reason why we don't jump to Misa is because it's not as likely that you're going to have eight in that car.
Exactly. Tosas doesn't mention the fundamental chiluk of the Mechayiv, but which is going to more likely produce obligation. Correct. Exactly correct. So there is a very, very fascinating comment that is made by the Kovet Shiurim. The Kovet Shiurim is found in the Sefer, in Chelek Beis of the Sefer. And he introduces a whole new idea over here, which again, I want to spend a couple of minutes just developing because I think it really fleshes out the picture. And indeed, maybe there's no stira in Tosas whatsoever. Maybe Tosas can really be reconciled. Says the Kovetz Shiurim. Yes, Rory.
Can you say the stira in Tosas one more time, please?
No problem. The Tosasin in Bava Kamma and in Ksuvis that we just saw today seem to indicate that the Mechayev of Knas is Gmar Din. And the Mechayev of Mamon is Maisa, is the Maisa itself. And exactly like Rashi, exactly like the Gilui Nashas, that seems to be what Tosas is saying in the other Masechtas. What we saw yesterday in Maseches Makos is when Tosas distinguishes between the cases of Dine Nefashos and the case of Mamon, that's not the distinction Tosas makes. He says when it comes to Dine Nefashos, it's so hard to get a conviction. You need Drisha, Vechakira, all these things, so that's so difficult. So Mamon, it's easy to get a conviction. So therefore, when it comes to, so that's going to be your difference in Mamon and Nefashos. He doesn't bring this more fundamental distinction. So it comes on the Kovetz Shiurim. And the Kovetz Shiurim, Rabosei, just by a show of hands, who saw and understood the Kovetz Shiurim? I just want to know how well to do it. Okay, so I'm going to share the screen one more time, and we're going to do the Kovetz Shiurim inside quickly. Okay, but it's a very, very Yesodi Kovetz Shiurim. So says the Kovetz Shiurim as follows. Okay, he opens up with a statement, fascinating statement. He points out that based on the Rambam Shita, the Rambam maintains that Shemitah does not cancel Knossos. It cancels Mamonos, but it doesn't cancel a Knas. So if there's an existing liability of a Knas that Reuven owes Leah, so in such a case, the Knas will survive Shemitah. And the question is why. So says this Kovetz Shiurim, fascinating split. He says, Venira, I'm reading in the third line, Venira perish dvarav de be'emes chiv knas chal alav tekef mishehize kemo b'mamon eladahai kedine v'ahai kedine de b'mamon hu chayev l'shalem chovo l'hanizak v'kevan shenishmat chovo shel hanizak memelu hu pater de kol chiyuvo shel hanitba hu mipnei zechuso shel hatoveya aval b'knas hu lehefech de zechuso shel hatoveya hu mipnei chiyuvo shel hanitba Shuchayev Leos Nenash. Dixiv Bikra Va'onsha Oso Mea Kesef Ukamo Ba'onsha Malkus Amisa Eladibaknas Onsha Hushiakufu Bezin Lashali. So far, what has been said? So the Kovetz Shiurim is saying the following. First of all, Yesod number one, listen carefully. According to everyone, what's the Machayev of Mamon? At what point is there a chiv mamon?
Maisa.
Right. Says the Kovetz Shiurim, when it comes to knas, there is no difference in that regard between knas and mamon. The mechayev of knas is also the maisa. Step one. In other words, we're rejecting the Gilui Nashas. What we do with all the rayas, we'll go back to that in a second. Step two. There is a fundamental difference, though, between the character of Mamon and the character of Knas. Mamon, what is the core, if you will, who is the, if I were to use like English, who is the subject of the Chiv Mamon? What do we care about? Who do we care about most in the Chiv Mamon?
The guy you have to pay back.
Correct. The recipient is who we care about. In other words, Mamon is about compensation. Making the Nizak, the Toveya, making him whole. That's the goal. Okay? Now, when it comes to Knas, on the other hand, it might be that the money is going to the girl who was raped. It might be the money is going to the father who of the girl who was seduced. However, what is the subject, what is the essence of the Chiv Knas? It's not about the destination. It's about, its substance is an onesh to the person who has to pay. And as such, what does Shemitah do? Shemitah cancels the recipient's rights. Cancels the recipient's rights of collection. So once Shemitah cancels the recipient's rights of collection, memela, the payor, doesn't have to pay. Because after all, if I have no rights anymore, so the payor doesn't have to pay. But when it comes to a knas, it's not about the recipient. It's about the payor. If it's about the payor, then good. Whatever the Shemitah does to the recipient is irrelevant because we still need the payor to pay. And that's why, says the Rambam, knas does not get canceled by Shemitah. That's point number one and point number two. Point number three, and this is the most important point, and this is a tremendous chiddush. What is the mechayiv of knas?
Based.
No! The mechayiv of knas is the maisa. But what is the substance of knas?
Onesh.
Onesh. And part of the definition of onesh is that it is what's the right word? That it is happening involuntarily. That is happening without your volition. That it is foisted upon you. That it is forced upon you. That is what punishment is. Can I tell you a story? A personal story? It was terrible. But it's exactly, it was terrible. Terrible. But this is the Yisod. I just thought of it. And this story goes back with me. It's a 45 years old, this story. I did something, I was a good kid, Baruch Hashem. I didn't misbehave. One time I can remember I did something wrong. I don't remember what I did, but my father got upset at me. It was a Sunday, and I wanted to watch a football game. And my father punished me. He sent me to my room without the game. And I was upset. But I came up with a chop. And so I listened to the game on the radio. And I was like, I was okay with it. Like, I became okay with it because I got the radio. And my father was not okay with it. So my father then, like, said, like, if he's okay with it, then we got to do something else. We got to, like, you can't listen to the radio. And that was a punishment. There was something like, in other words, if the punishee is, like, okay with it, so it's not a punishment anymore. It loses its punishment nature. Punishment has to be involuntary. If you're okay with it, there's a famous vart. I'm going to give you a vart. This is your Yom Yerushalayim Shmuz right now. Okay? Famous Rav Shechter has a beautiful idea. It's actually no Geder Maseches Makis. But he says the following idea. He says, an Eved Ivri, last week's parsha, if an Eved Ivri says, after 6 years, he goes free. But if an Eved Ivri says, I love my Adon. I like to be here. I don't want to go free. What do we do to him? We puncture his ear. Why do we puncture his ear? So Chazal say, Ozen Sheshama, the ear that heard, Lo Tignov, Behar Sinai, that ear is going to get punctured. So the Maral Diskin asks the following kasha. Why are you punishing him for the Gneva? The Gneva happened 6 years ago. Why are you puncturing the ear for the Gneva? What is, like, that's old news. Been there, done that. So the answer is, says Rav Shecht, the answer that Maral Diskin says is, obviously, Avdus is a punishment. He didn't realize. He likes being an Eved. He enjoys being an Eved. He enjoys getting his food first, the pillows first. He enjoys being an Eved. So therefore, we have to punish him again, not for what he's doing now, but what he did 6 years ago. If your punishment is volitional, if you want the punishment, if you like, listen, how many of you guys are making Aliyah? How many of you guys making Aliyah? Listen to the schmooze. Rav Shechter says, if you think gullus is an onesh, it's a punishment. If you relish your gullus, you get rachman al-etzlan. We need more onshin then. because if we enjoy the onesh, we volition, we walk into the onesh, so then it's obviously we miss the point. That's the kovet shiurim. That's the musr of the kovet shiurim. That's the hashkof of the kovet shiurim, that a punishment has to be kofui upon you. It has to be foisted upon you. So therefore, a chelek of the punishment is that bezdin, that it's imposed on you. That bezdin imposed on you. What's the mechayev? The mechayev is the maisa. But it requires the imposition of bezdin. Without a gemar din, it's not going to be called a punishment. So what's the pshat in mode b'knas pater? When you're mode, I'm willing to pay, I'm happy to pay, sure, no problem, I'm mode. No, then you're exempt. Why are you exempt? Because it's not functioning then as an onesh. Let's flip the screen open for one more time. So he says, he continues. Let's take a look. The ela de beknas onsho hu shiakfu bezin la'oilot l'shalem aval guf chivo chiv onesh uvechiv onesh oshay din shvius. Okay, good. V'ha, and now he continues. V'ha de pater, let's say, sidei shamayim kodin gemar din. So why is it that if you're chayv an onesh and you say, yeah, I want to pay, let's say, sidei shamayim, there's no such thing. In a time, the reason is not because that katilon is chayev, ela af al gav shekvar nischayev la alter. Even if you're already chayev from the moment that you did the avera, still to say I want to be yotzei shamayim misses the point, because the point is an onesh, and an onesh requires kfias bezdin l'shalim. If you're shalim below bezdin, lo yehe nishlam onsho bazeh v'nimsa, and therefore, if you pay on your own, that's not called a knas. That's not called imposition. That's called a matana ba'alma. V'zeh eno chayv klal atet lo matanos. Elo chayv knas va'onesh yesh alav mi'item lo bezin lo ne'enash bazeh onesh haroi. And then he continues and says in the second paragraph, v'chein le'inyan dinin afashos. So too when it comes to dinin afashos. What's the mechayv rabosai in dinin afashos? The mechayiv in dinin nefashos is the maisa avera. The maisa avera. But, what's the but? But you don't, you need, what do you need bezin for? You need bezin as the ma'ane. So he says as follows. The afshal horgo kodim gmar din neragolav. Let's say someone kills the rotseach before the rotseach had a gemar din. Haynu mipnei shechivo hu shinerag al yidei gemar din bezdin. Aval achiv hazeh chal alav la'alter. And then he brings a raya for this idea. And then he says, v'chiv misa chal teka mishas aver, v'nimsa. Debein beknas, bein bedin nefashos, gavra bar chiyuvu la'alter. Kamo b'mamon. V'ahevzo v'nei hu rapa echos achiv. So it could be that we can reconcile all the Taisasin in light of the position of the Kovet Shiurim, and that what the Chiyuv, even by Knas, even by Din Nefashos, is a Chiyuv that really is Chal Mishas Maisa. But nevertheless, there's no din of let's say sidei shamayim when it comes to a knas, because that's not called a knas. The nature of knas is that it is imposed upon you, and therefore there's no din of yotzei shamayim. And that's why, in a case of good, in the case of a girl who was a ktana and then bagra, good, it might have been machayev. But once the imposition of bezin becomes a chelek of the onesh, perhaps at that point it will indeed go to the girl, because again the issue is the destination, not the point when it comes to knas. What's the point when it comes to knas is the onesh shebo, and therefore indeed it might go to the girl. Okay, Rabosai, that's that. A quick question or two, and then I want to move on. Yes, Isaac.
Then how come when you're a maida, why you pater? I don't
really have that. Mode beknas is pater because once you're mode and you say I'm prepared to pay, it's no longer forced. It's not forced. It's a volitional payment. Once it's volitional, it's not a punishment.
Then you should get the
Sky.
Sky,
you should get a different onus. Listen, next time you want to write the Torah, you'll write the Torah. Okay, weiter in Shas. Weiter in Shas. Okay. Weiter in Shas. Weiter in Shas. I got to go weiter. Okay, I want to do the next sugya. I want to do the next sugya quickly. I want to ram this, do it quickly. Let's go. So open up your Gemaras. We're going to learn the Gemara. And I want to just add two, I think, very fascinating ha'aros, but I hold cup. You all saw this Gemara, please? Did you all see the Gemara? Okay, great. So the Gemara cites a machlokes between... we have a machlokes in the Mishnah, a very fascinating case that is discussed. The case is as follows. There is a machlokes in how to learn the case. I'm learning the case like Rov Rishon, which is Rashi, which is the Rif, the Ritva, the Baal HaMor, Rov Rishon. They learn the case like this. A guy comes into Bezdin, Kat A comes into Bezdin and says, Reuven killed Shimon. Kat B comes into Bezdin and says, hey, Kat A, Imanu Hayisem, you're with us. Now, Kat C comes into Bezdin, so we're going to kill Kat A. Kat C comes into Bezdin and says, Reuven killed Shimon. Kat B, the Mezimim, say, hey, you with us. You killed Kat C, l'chora. Kat D comes in, says, Reuven killed Shimon. Kat B comes back and says, you with us. Ad Mea Eid. And the Mishnah says, you have a machlokas, Rav Yehuda, and Rabbanon, what's the psagdin? So Rabbanon say, seemingly, that in such a case, afilu mea kulam yahargu. So Kat B can be the cause of putting every one of those Aden, those kitos of Aden, to death. And comes on Rabbi Yehuda and says, istatis hi. Best English translation for the word istatis is that these are conspiring Aden. These Aden have agendas. They're just looking to knock people out. There is something fishy, there's something awry, and therefore we believe we don't believe the second cut, and we're not going to put anyone to death on the basis of the second cut's edus. Okay, stop right there. That's the Mishnah. Now I have a very simple question, and that is, what is this machlokas all about? And if I were to ask you, just put on your balabatish hats, if I were to ask you, which shita in the Mishnah makes more sense? What is the more logical position? Which one is more mistaber? And when you answer, please answer why. Why? Do not just say, give me the why. Yes, Mr. Antelis.
The Rabbanon makes more sense because if they are all testifying and it's all false testimony, then they're all being over. Right, don't testify false against your friend. It makes sense that they should all have a dinner misa. Whereas in Rabbi Yehuda, yeah, they're testifying falsely and it's complicated, it's a conspiracy, so it's only killed the first cut.
Honestly, now, forget that the Gemara pulls away from. The Gemara says you're not going to kill anyone, so don't worry about that. Right. But again, Rabbi Yehuda says, listen, this looks like a conspiracy. These two Edim, you know, are building a, you know, just knocking everyone out. Rabbanan say, no, who says? Yeah, Aaron Goldstein, welcome, what do you got?
Oh, that's my cover, so we have the same conclusion.
You like Rabbanan?
Yeah, because, I mean, I don't, like, we're just pulls this whole conspiracy thing from nowhere, and what it kind of sounds is, it kind of sounds like the Rabbanan are just holding to the straightforward interpretation of the law, which is, come forward and testify falsely, and you get executed if that's what you were planning to do.
Okay, so the Aaron Antelis, and I'll bring Dovi into it as well. He's a silent partner. They say that you apply the halacha. What is the halacha? Kat B says about Kat A and Kat C and Kat D and Kat E. Imanu Ayisem. Do we have any evidence that they are lying? That Kat B is not telling the truth? We have no evidence that they're not telling the truth. Everything, we have nothing concrete that says they're lying. And therefore, we apply the strict letter of the law. And until they're, you know, innocent and proven guilty. and therefore we will go ahead and believe Kat B and kill everyone. That is...
Yeah, but if coming up with a Psak Bazin was equivalent to, like, plugging in numbers into an equation, then anyone could do it. Anyone who was good at math.
Okay, hold on. So Leibel, can someone defend Rav Yehuda? What's Rav Yehuda's svara? Yeah?
I mean, the fact that new Adam keep coming in, and then they're found to be zomim, like, right away, like, seems a little fishy.
Okay, so the word that everyone likes to say is, it's fishy. This is too fishy. Every new cat that comes in, somehow this cat B, like, is with everyone. They're like, anywhere we, you know, we, you, nope, Imano Yisem, Imano Yisem, Imano Yisem, this sounds fishy. They must, like, really like Reuven. And Rav Yehuda says, if it's fishy, if it's too fishy, we knock it out. We knock it out. Now,
can Rabbi just repeat the case?
I can. Kat A says Reuven killed Shimon. Kat B says to Kat A, Imanu Hayisem. Kat C says Reuven killed Shimon. Kat B says, no, Imanu Hayisem. Kat D says Reuven killed Shimon. Kat B says, no, Imanu Hayisem. Vechahena, vechahena. Rabose, to me, simple me, on a balabatish level, Rav Yehuda is absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. And I think this is what probably Will was saying. There's something fishy. Sometimes things are so fishy, they smell. And you gotta get out of the room. It just smells. There is something going on, and we just can't kill people when there's too much stench. It doesn't work. Chachamim say, yeah, but show me how they're lying. Give me a braya. Give me evidence. Give me edim hamakrishim. Give me something. You don't got anything. We apply the strict letter of the law. Just to take it one step deeper, if you look at the Me'iri, I think the Me'iri, again, I'm mentioning this, hammering it away, because it's a svara that really, I think, needs to run through the entire first perek. And the Me'iri said it for me, Mefurish, which got me very, very excited when I saw it earlier this morning. I'm sharing my screen again. And if you look at the Me'iri over here, I actually made it a little bigger now. So the Me'iri quotes this machlokes, and then he says... The Me'iri. He says, Rav Yehuda is looking at extrajudicial, like, logic. This is not judicial, it's extrajudicial. And say, we can't have these Aden. We can't have these Aden. Where is that coming from? So look at this. Look at this line. He says... Lefichach ein lismoch aleihem velo lahamin ledivreichem bekol ma sheheidu. Why? Tehoed zomem chidushu shechidsha Torah demaychazis de samchis ahani smoch ahani vekevan shehugzak lios mezimin uste kitos omdos kenegdan beedusan yesh chashash sheker beedusan. Etc. In other words, what is the Baal HaMor saying? The Baal HaMor is saying like this, Rabosai, Edim Zomim is a chiddush. And fundamentally, what do you have in Edim Zomim? What is Edim Zomim?
Trey
or Trey. My chazis, the Tzayis Ahani, Tzayis Ahani. Why believe these two over those two? So come from the Xeris HaKos. Chiddush Akra, that we believe the second cap. But what's Rabbi Yehuda saying? The second you have any scintilla of bona fide doubt, even if it's coming from circumstantial, extrajudicial factors, We're back to Trey Utre. We're back to the default Trey Utre. And therefore, you throw them out. What do the Chacham say? Chachamim are what you'd call, you've heard of Robert Bork? No? Ilan! Next book you read, Robert Bork. B-O-R-K.
I don't think so.
Really? Okay, you look, not now, Ilan, but look up the history of Robert Bork. Robert Bork was, if I remember correctly, a Reagan appointee to the Supreme Court. And he was rejected. There was a big machlekes between the Democrats and the Republicans about Mr. Bork. What was the problem with Bork? What was the problem with him? He was a strict constructionist. What does that mean, strict constructionist? He looked at the Constitution for what it said. Nothing more, nothing less. Today you have something called judicial activism, that anything can mean anything. You just have enough creativity, you can put anything in there. And he was a strict constructionist. What the framers meant, that was what it was. And that, l'chaira, is the pshat in Chachamim, l'havdil. What the Chachamim is saying, the Rabbanim is saying is, you can't introduce extrajudicial concepts. There's no such thing as a chazakah that these guys are lying. You got evidence, you got evidence. You don't, you don't. And that, at the core, I'm going to add, is that I think they're holding that fundamentally, the Edim HaMezimim, Kat B, are believed. They're attacking Gufo Shel Edim. They're attacking the Gufo Shel Edim, not the Edus. It's not Trey Utre. Comes along, the Xeris HaKazim Zoman says, we believe the second Kat. Once you believe the second cut, they have their mothers over the second cut, and therefore to undermine them, it's not enough just to use some kind of extrajudicial evidence. You need something far more fundamental, something much more internal, and therefore circumstantial is not going to work. That is the Baal HaMa'or, which I think is a svar that fits very nicely what we've been saying. Finishing up this sugya, there's just a nice, at the end of the Gemara, again, I'm going to do this very quickly because we're really running out of time, the Gemara then creates this machlokes Reish Lakish Rabbanon that might Reish Lakish Rav Yochanan that can tie into the machlokes in the Mishnah. And the Gemara has the following case. Let's just go over it very quickly. The Gemara has a case where a woman brings in Edim to testify on her behalf, and the Edim are found to be liars. The woman brings in another cot of Edim that are testifying on her behalf, and they're found to be liars. Comes back again and brings another Kat of Edim to testify on her behalf. And at this point, Reish Lakish says, hey, nothing doing. She's already got a chazaka that she brings in lying Edim. We're not even going to pay attention to this third Kat of Edim. She's huchzaka to bring in lying Edim. That's Reish Lakish. And Rav Yochanan says, good, she's huchzak. But who says this third Kat is lying? We have no evidence whatsoever that this third cat is lying. So the Gemara says, wow, that's a beautiful tzushta. Reish Lakish is like Rav Yehuda, that will look at the circumstance. She strike one, strike two. So we'll assume that the third cat is also lying. And that's like Rav Yehuda. There's enough circumstantial evidence over here. And Rav Yochanan is like Rabbanan, that until we have evidence about cat three, we're going to believe cat three. And then the Gemara says, no. Nothing doing. Nothing doing. You can go ahead and cross the shittas. Reish Lakish can go like Rabbanan, and Rav Yochanan can go like Rav Yehuda. How so? And I'm going to say over the pshat, I'm going to share my screen one last time. We're going to quickly do the Ritva, and then we'll be done. Okay, so the Ritva explains what's going on and what's the logic of the Gemara. Here's the Ritva. And the Ritva basically says, the Shaila over here is, do we take this extrajudicial circumstantial evidence or not? Do we rely on this or not? Fundamentally, Rav Yehuda says, we look at extra cases. We look at this umdana. There's a likelihood that there's a liar here. So we look at umdana. And Rabbanan say, you don't look at umdana. You don't look at chazaka. So says the Ritva as follows. Where am I? So the Gemara's Hava Amina, when we wanted to line up Reish Lakish with Rav Yehuda and Rav Yochanan with the Chachamim. So the Gemara says like this. V'hachi kamedamin le'Rav Yehuda v'Rabbanan b'kad hamazemes, in the Mishnah, kad B, b'umdina below raya. There's no raya, there's just an umdina. What does umdina mean, gentlemen?
Assumption.
Yeah, an assumption, a circumstantial evidence. Dika lai pligi. De Rav Yochanan, de Rav Yehuda azal baser umdina, v'metz lai umdina demucha, de shikra ka'amri. V'kevan she shamu atzma lahazim kalabon be'edu zulam lahem imano yisem. Dam yelahai umdu de itza. It's like the case of the girl. De anan lesle shum raya al gufa shal kat shlishis. We have no raya on the third kat. Shumi idim sheker. Elami umdin data. Presumptions. Presumptions, assumptions, chazakas that the chazin lahayitz the hundred treizim v'chad b'baser edes sheker for abanan demas nisin the lo azal baser umdina. We don't look at circumstantials. V'chen Rav Yochanan ukasalka daitach, and the Gemara assumes in the Havamina sheha umdinos halalo shavosen that the umdina of the isha and the umdina of kat b in the Mishnah are identical. V'tamuda metaretz v'azel she'ein ha'umdinos v'achazakos halol shavos. The umdinos, the presumptions are not the same. In other words, everyone agrees that you can have an umdina in the maskana, but they differ in degree. The Reish Lakish savar, the umdina de itza chamira tfei. The umdina of the woman is more chamor. Why? Umodel rabbanan. That in our Mishnah, it wouldn't be the same. Why? Because in the case of the woman, there's an instigator. She is instigating. She's paying them off. And therefore, she's inducing them to be made sheker. V'chosh la'asudei shaka v'kov lomer ki k'shem shisita l'shtei kitos. Just like she induced the first two. Hisita l'azu, she'll also have induced the third. And the Mishnah, there's no instigator. It's all this second kind of Eden. Rav Yochanan Amar to Rav Yehuda Alima Le Umdina de Masnisin. Rav Yochanan says, no, the Umdina of the Mishnah is stronger. Why? So says the Ritva, it says a lumdish a point, and with this we will close. The Ritva says a lumdish a point that Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah, there is a flaw. Where is the flaw lodged in the Mishnah? Where is the flaw, the Umdina? Where is it? Where is it in the Mishnah, according to Rav Yehuda? It's in the Edom. It's in Kat B. It's in the Edom. Ah, if it's in the Edom, then even Rav Yochanan can agree with Rav Yehuda. Where is the flaw in the case of the woman? Where is the umdana that perhaps there's some lying going on? Where is the flaw? Where's the issue?
It's with the woman.
It's with the woman. But the third cat is what?
They're innocent until proven guilty.
They're innocent until proven guilty. Very good, Aaron. Welcome home. Welcome home. That is, says Rav Yochanan, the fundamental difference. That's the chiluk. In other words, they all agree. They know at the end of the Gemara, what the Gemara is telling us is they all agree that there is, you can go use circumstantial evidence, but Reish Lakish says the circumstantial evidence of an instigator is already tilting in that direction. Rav Yochanan says, no, the circumstantial evidence has to be in the Edim. If it's external to the Edim, this third kat is 100% clean. Rabosai, Yashar Koyach. That went, I hope you got it all. There's a lot there. There's a very significant sugyas. And Yitz Hashem, we will have some perhaps guests in Shir tomorrow, but we will push on as we always like to do. Any questions? If not, I will let you.